visitors, members, welcome to all who gather in the name of the Lord this morning. It is a good morning. It is the Lord's morning. And we pray that we can give God the glory he deserves as we worship him and as we do the work of his church and enfold in the love of his people those who need his love. And that, of course, is all of us. Join me now in the short book with a long name. You know this book wears the name because of the content of this book. And in fact, its author is sometimes called the Weeping Prophet. This morning, however, I invite you to join me in one little neighborhood of this book. It's a surprising place, buried in the midst. It's about as middle as you can get. It's in the middle of the middle chapter. And that must be intentional. It must be strategically placed to offer respite and recovery for those who find themselves in the midst of lamentation. So join me now. I'm in chapter 3, the middle chapter. And I'm in verse 21. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. And now we're simply going to track back through those words, and I want to trace some of the phrases and register some observations that come to mind as I think about this passage. So join me. And of course, we have to start here. Good readers watch for the but. The but's the turning word. It tells us here we are turning from this catalog of lament, and we're turning to something different. And so here already, I'm expectant. I'm waiting for something. Give me that turn, Lord. And here he says, see, this, it's the lament is flooding my mind. But then I hear we have a declaration, I call to mind. I have the power to bring something to my mind. It's not something new, it's something I already possess, but I get to call it to mind. And here it is. Well, pardon me, got my order wrong. Not only can I call, I can have hope. And that's such a big deal for this writer in this moment, in this place, that he's going to repeat it later. I can have hope. And here's why. Here's why. This is the heart of the passage, the heart of the lesson this morning, I believe. The steadfast love of the Lord. I hope you understand what this means. This is the I'm coming after you love of God. It's not enough that God said he loved us. It's God said, I'm not going to quit. I'm coming after you because I want you. As the sage Curtis Pope says, and still says, I'm sure, God did not want to picture heaven without you in it. This love is the covenant loyalty love. This love is the one that says, I will not surrender a relationship easily. I'm coming after you. You may still thwart me. You still may refuse me, but it won't be because I gave up. I'm coming after you. This morning, the Lord's Day, remember that this is at least one of the central components of the nature of God. He is the one who practices steadfast love. But what we're told about that is this: it never ceases. Never ceases. And then we go on, his mercies never come to an end. Mercies may come pretty close to the steadfast love, but here the never part is built in. And here we are, the mercies of God aren't going to quit. Just because you got fussy one day, God didn't quit. Just because you got messed up one day, God's mercy continues. God's steadfast love continues. It never comes to an end. Understand that. Let that word sit there by itself. Never. Some people end up missing God because they believe that they're so bad even God can't save them. Well, all we can do is say, give your idols up. Your sin has become an idol. But here, this writer, in the midst of woe, in the midst of lament, he understands that I can stop and I can call to mind and I can have hope. Why? Not because of me. Even though I'm doing things, I'm doing two things. I'm calling and I'm having. But it's not about me. It's about the nature of this God who's coming after us. Celebrate this morning. Further in the passage says, my God is the portion of my soul. I can't see portion without thinking about food. I don't know about you, but everything brings food to my mind. Portions. But this is my portion. And it is God that is my portion, the portion of my soul. This is what is suited. This is the size. This is what I need for my soul, and it is God. I want to relish this phrase. I want it to bump around in my mouth, in my mind, in this coming week. God is my portion. It's not that little bitty piece of me, that's all you're supposed to have, the size of a credit card or whatever it is. No, God is my portion, and the portion of my soul. Celebrate the language that we are being offered here. And then, as I told you, for this writer, it's such a big deal that he gives it to us again. I will hope. Notice the difference. Well, first time, I have hope. And now I will hope. And notice there's a clear vector. My hope is not some cloud of desire. It is pointed. I will hope in him. And you know, I ask students fairly often to define hope for me, and it's one of those tricky words. We live it, we say it, we think we understand it, and we really do. But when we articulate a meaning, we stumble all over the place. And we bump into faith. And I want to suggest to you this homemade definition, and you know, homemade is good in French fries, ice cream, chocolate chip cookies, and definitions. Here, I believe hope is something like a confidence that things don't have to be the way they are right now. Right? Here's a lamenter writing. Here's a mourner writing, and he's given us 2.5 chapters of mourning. But he stops and he says, I can call to mind in the midst of that mourning, I can call to mind and understand that it doesn't have to always be this way. Now, please don't misunderstand me. This little passage ends. It ended. I stopped. And the mourning comes back in this book. And that's the way it is in our lives. But please understand, the nice place is there. And we can go there. It's not an accident that just happens for the right people at the right time. Remember how the passage started. I call to mind. It's available, and I can bring it when I'm ready. And when I do, I can be renewed in my hope that tomorrow doesn't have to be like today. The next 15 minutes don't have to be like these 15 minutes. I know you join me in wanting that. Notice the language here. We're now near the end. In verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. I hope you know that there lives among us, especially you suburban successfuls, a desire to go fix things. We don't wait, we do. We name it, we fix it, and then we go fix something else. Here, there is celebration. There is a recognition of this power. The Lord is good to those who will wait for him. The one who seeks him, one should wait. Good writers keep coming back. Look, it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation. Notice that. Second time we wait, and here added emphasis. I don't wait in a frenzy. I don't wait frantically. I don't wait. As I was just waiting to come up here, I have to confess, I had my leg jumping up and down. We don't get to wait with our leg jump. We get to wait quietly, it seems, is our hope. There it is. We get to wait. We get to wait quietly. Let's do that. We can. And then here's the others I've given you in order as they appear in the passage. I've just gone back to work through the passage, but now I want to go back and pick up one that I saved because it's pretty nifty, it seems to me. They are new every morning is back in verse 23. They are new every morning. They refers back to his mercies, his steadfast love, new every morning. I don't know about you, but it's pretty tempting to get up and think that this morning's about like the other morning. And for me, creature of routine, I want it to be the same. Don't change anything. But here, the possibility of newness is celebrated, the mercies. We're not stuck in old things. There's hope that the new can bring a better day. Not that our world is going to change. The morning still comes. The sorrow still comes, but we are new because we have called to mind and we have hoped in the Lord. Here's the deal. Now we're at the very end. This is where it's official Kleinwood preacher role. We've got to have a list for you. So here it is. But this is going to be the fastest list in the West. So be ready. Be ready. Here's the deal. I call, I hope, I seek, I wait. Those are all statements of things that I can do. And I can do those. That's first. I have the ability, I have the capacity, the capability. I can do this, and I should do them. That means it is right, I ought to do them. That's all true. And so I want to duly note what we can do to see this newness, to see this hope, to experience the steadfast love of God. But understand this, that having done all of those things, there's one more that's got to be considered, one more element that's got to be considered. Therefore, I can do all of these things. Why? And here it is. We come back to the other side. Simply, emphatically, declaratively, God practices steadfast love. He does it. He's coming after you. And his practice of steadfast love is not merely enough, it's plenty for us to make it through the next 15 minutes, to make it through the next day, to make it through this lifetime, and to arrive with the King of Glory. It is plenty now. Friends and brothers and sisters, I stand before you as a broken person. I invite you this morning, I believe the Bible invites you this morning to be broken with me. Because it is in our brokenness that we can receive the wholeness that comes from the steadfast love of God. In our brokenness, we can become whole because we understand that it is the God who comes after us, and here he's told us, I'm coming after you through this one called Jesus. He died. He was buried. He was raised. He was seen. And he was exalted to the right hand of the throne of God. And because all of that is true, my brokenness is still real, but it's not the final page of the story. This morning, will you come to Jesus? This morning, will you recognize that the mourning is real, the sadness is real, the sorrow is real, the burdens are real? Will you also recognize this? When you feel this desire to fear, to fret, to fume, to feud, to fuss, remember that you have the power to call to mind the steadfast love of God. Will you this morning either call it to mind now and renew it in your own heart, or will you come before this group and name the name of Jesus, confess him as Lord, be baptized for the remission of your sins? Please respond to the Lord this morning as we stand and as we sing.